of our devotees in St. Louis. He's become very interested in and now learned in these procedures, because there's the levels and levels and levels of complexity that one can get into. So he asked me one time to do one of these to describe the role of such functions in the life of the Vaishnava. Essentially, the function is one of when invoking auspiciousness. When, like the samskaras, they're transition points in the journey of the soul from conception, becoming conscious in the womb, leaving the body of the mother in the birth, breaking of the umbilical cord, and so forth. These are the transition parts, acting independently from the body of the mother by taking grain, and so forth and so on. Invoking auspiciousness when commencing something, to do that commencing something, the next stage of the journey of the soul. By invoking auspiciousness, and primarily auspiciousness is invoked through sound. And there's sound is a material element. Sound is present through ether, and through sound vibration all kinds of things happen, but knowledge is conveyed. And when the sound vibration is from Vedic mantras, then there's some, at least some indication of and connection with auspicious blessings from higher authorities. It's acknowledging them, invoking their blessings, so that this, from the previous situation of life to the new situation of life, auspiciousness is invoked. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, are you familiar with Hari Bhakti Vilas, what that is? Not sure. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was the son of the chief priest in Sri Rangam, Venkata Bhatta. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the home of Venkata Bhatta for 4 months, and little son Gopal associated with him. So he learned the Siddhanta of Lord Chaitanya, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. As well, he knew the teachings of his sampradaya, and he knew the rituals, the invoking of auspiciousness and so on. So what Gopal Bhatta Goswami did as he grew up, he took those rituals that come from the agamas, the portion of the Vedas that are dealing with invoking material auspiciousness, and wherever there are names of devas, he inserted names of Vishnu. Because ultimately the devas are deriving their capacity or power from Vishnu. And so the procedures are a little bit simplified, but very similar. But it's invoked, the auspiciousness invoking is the blessings of Vishnu for each of those samskaras, and similarly for this. This is entering into a newly acquired home. Yes? How long have you been living here?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. So, in the beginning stages of from whatever to whatever, the invoking of mantras that are, on the one hand, the act is glorification of the Supreme Lord, just like these Govinda prayers is exactly what it is. It's Lord Brahma upon his mature realization of his eternal relationship with Govinda. That's described just before these prayers begin. He had an awakening of his eternal relationship as a maidservant of Krishna. And then he had his realization of Krishna. And the prayers are descriptions of his relationship, or excuse me, the position of Krishna. And it starts with the spiritual world, and then his spiritual form, and then his spiritual activities, and then his uniquenesses of his spiritual potencies, and then more detail about rasa, and the intimate relationship of the residents of Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna, and their rasa with Krishna. So it's very high subject matter. Just glorification of who is Krishna. Understand, the refrain is Govindam Adi Purusham. That's his position. He's the original person. Tam Aham Bhajami. I worship him. And so it's glorification. And that glorification, even if one doesn't know the meaning of the sound vibration is connecting one with Goloka and with Govinda, just by sound. So that the intent behind, in this case, the intent behind the invoking of those wonderful mantras, besides sanctifying our consciousness, is directed towards the dedication of this new house in service to Govinda. So the auspiciousness is created by the sound vibration, and then the intention behind that is particular to the occasion. So we recite these Govinda prayers as is traditional for a function like this. It's invoking auspiciousness and then the dedication specifically. May this new situation, just like saying a child entering into the womb of the mother, or the child after some months becoming conscious instead of susupti state, or the child leaving the body of the mother, that this new situation of life, let it be dedicated to the service of the Supreme. And like that, in each of the stages of life, if one consciously is cultivating in that way, consciousness then becomes directed to the Supreme. And progressively one's life becomes spiritualized. And from that spiritual well-being, material well-being follows. So, karmakanda rituals may even look similar, but the consciousness is different. It's not, let me have material prosperity by moving into my new house. Rather, the consciousness is, may my consciousness be dedicated to the Supreme and recognize that the facility he's providing is meant for his service. Let me consider within myself or with my heart how to dedicate this facility, like the child is given a body or we're given a home in which the body can live, how that can be dedicated in service to the Supreme. The mantras help create that auspicious atmosphere by sound. And then what's most important is the submission, or the sankalpa. You know what I mean? Sankalpa? Yes? Sankalpa. So the sankalpa... Huh?
Yeah. We always perform it before our auspicious religious function.
Yeah. But sankalpa means intention.
Intention.
What's the intention behind the act? Just like Krishna, at the time of seeing his father with the big arrangement for a yajna to Indra by the side of Govardhan Hill. Little 6-year-old Krishna went to his father and said, "Please tell me, what is it that all of this paraphernalia has been arranged for? It looks like some festival or some ceremony." So not only what is the festival or ceremony that he specifies, what is the intention behind it? Because if one does the festival or ceremony but doesn't know the intention behind it, one doesn't get the actual benefit. The intention behind auspicious activities, sankalpa, is most important. So let the facility that Krishna has provided be dedicated to his service. We discussed this last night at MIT on when bad things happen to good people. That was the topic, and connected to karma. So just at the end, karma-free life has, to kept it very simple, but two main elements. One is proprietorship. Recognizing that everything belongs to the Supreme, belongs to God. And then the second is ordained by the Supreme according to the codes of theistic conduct. How am I to, I'm in God's kingdom, how am I to utilize the things that are in his kingdom, in his service? And then it's karma-free life. The full range and variety of activities will be there because we have our nature, we have our mind, we have our body, we have our psychophysical nature. We're going to do things. How to do those things in harmony with the will of the Supreme? That's the second part. And the first part is proprietorship. It belongs to him. Because the material consciousness is, he's not the proprietor. And so my program is to make things mine. Like my house. So the karma-free conception or consciousness is Vishnu is the proprietor of everything. He's the source of everything, and so he's the proprietor of everything. And so here we are. We've taken birth in that which is his place, and let us utilize his place according to what is favorable and pleasing to him. And then that's, we're not generating any new karma, and all of the old previous karmas are also being dismissed just by the power or the fire of bhakti. So that's why we're doing, and including invoking auspicious mantras. And the next ones we're going to do, we can get the butter, the ghee has become hardened, so it's become Krishna Priya. The ghee needs to become soft again. Huh? No, ghee.
It became probably frozen again.
A little warm. So will we have fire and offer grains into the fire and accompanied by auspicious mantras? And these auspicious mantras, it's approaching the personality of Godhead through the representation of the personality of Godhead, the disciplic succession. And these mantras are that. Just as Krishna in Bhagavad Gita describes in chapter 4. The parampara is there to connect us with the Supreme. And so we don't approach Krishna directly, we approach Krishna through his representatives. Just very simple. And so we invoke mantras that start with the generic mantra that's from Vedic texts, where one approaches Guru. Om Ajnana Timurandas Dhananjana Salakya Chakshur Miritam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. That's generic. Those who are opening my darkened eyes with the light of transcendental knowledge, while I was standing in the darkness of ignorance, I'm offering my namaha, I'm offering my obeisances unto them. And then, so that's the general invocation, and then specific. We start with Rupa Goswami, some honor to Rupa Goswami, because he has given the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so nicely and in an authorized way by Lord Chaitanya's requesting him to do so. And then similar mantras for our disciplic succession and the Madan Mohan and Govindaji and Gopinath, the deities presiding over Sambandha, Abhidaya, and Prayojana, and so forth. So, we're approaching Krishna, invoking Krishna's mercy. And through the mercy of God. So you had a question. Did you get your question answered?
No.
What was the question, I forget?
When you were explaining, you said...
How do you use things? How do we dedicate this to Krishna service?
Without using it selfishly.
Well, Rupa Goswami gives a very nice explanation. It's connected to the topic last night at MIT, acting without karma. The acting with karma is with fruitive intention. Karma means activity, and fruitive activity is when I do things because I want something. The passion. I want something. So different people want different somethings, and so there's a variety of fruitive activities. But it's the intention of, from this, I get that. So, the impersonal idea, or Phalgu Vairagya idea, according to Rupa Goswami, is where things that aren't in relation to Hari, we reject them. They're not ours to reject. Like I walk down the street and I see, oh, there's a nice Mercedes Benz, and over there there's a Rolls Royce, and over there there's a something. And I renounce it. But it's not mine to renounce. It belongs to someone. So, incomplete renunciation is things that belong to Hari, we renounce. Not ours to renounce. And the complete form of renunciation, very nice verse. It's worth like hearing it again and contemplating it again and again and again. Anasaktasya Vishayan is how it starts. Asakti means attachment, and anasaktasi, you put the prefix a in front, it's without attachment. Anasaktasya Vishayan. Vishay means sense gratification. Same word is used in Bhagavad Gita. So, without the mood, okay, here's a house, what's the purpose of it? Sense gratification, let us enjoy the house. That's fruitive activity. And non-fruitive activity, or transcendental activity, is without attachment to sense gratification. Then the next line is very curious, very interesting. Yatarham upayunjitaha. Yatarham means according to suitability. And one accepts things according to suitability. So like, you need some furniture. and have a house. We need some furniture. So, according to suitability, someone will live very simply, someone will live very lavishly, and you know. But so basically, you accept things because there's a need to accept things. You have a computer. Anyway, what's necessary for my service to Krishna, I have that. I can receive guests, and I have a place where I can receive guests, and I have a machine to keep my health, and so according to suitability, I accept things, and not, you know, not otherwise. Like, how many pair of shoes do I need? You know, etc. How many, or when I travel sometimes, I hear people that don't even know each other, because Southwest is like comedy traveling, people that don't even know each other sit next to each other, and the whole ride, they're just talking about the latest little device. And they pull out three of them, they talk about the latest one, and, you know, so what's necessary? What's necessary, then you accept that which is necessary, and each of us has a different necessity. So, yataram upayunjita, we accept things without attachment to sense gratification according to what is suitable. What a brahmachari or sannyasi may need is not the same as what a householder may need. Anyway, according to suitability, we accept. Anasaktasya vishayan yataram upayunjita, nirvanda Krishna sambandhe. Krishna sambandhe, that which is in relationship to Krishna. Yuktam vairagya, we use it in his service. Yuktam vairagya uchite. Each of those things that are here in the house, you know, the MP3 player and the computer and the items in the kitchen and whatever is here, we accept because it's suitable for Krishna's service. And we use it that way. And that way, there's detachment from sense gratification and the mood of dedication of things in service to Krishna. So that the beginning is with that consciousness, and then each of the events following the beginning flows from that. We invite, you know, family like friends. So we invite friends, and when we invite friends, we serve Krishna prasadam, and we talk about the things that are going to help us and them move toward Krishna. Like that. Like you have your Bhagavatam set, for example. Vaisheshika, you know Vaisheshika? You know his name? Prabhupada disciple lives in California. He's really an amazing devotee. He's inspired and inspires others in book distribution all over North America, actually now all over the world. And he's based in the Silicon Valley or San Jose area. So just all, largely it's non-resident Indian technology, computer technology people living in that area, that have become devotees. And they go door to door, distribute sets of Bhagavatam, Chaitanya, Charitamrita, like hundreds of them so far this year. Anyway, so mainly it's door to door. So one of the things he really likes is when they buy the set, they have to put it on their shelf. If they put it on their shelf, they have to take some useless stuff off the shelf. And he says, they actually feel very happy because they know that they don't need that useless stuff that's on the shelf. And now they're placing Krishna in their home. They know it. Because they tell them, this is what we're doing here. And they like it. So that's an example. So how you use, you know, the bookshelves, it's something that's going to remind you of the life's mission and the pictures on the wall and the subject matters that you speak and the food that you prepare in the kitchen and serve to your guests. And it's all in relation to Krishna, and therefore it's not binding. It's the activity itself is freeing the soul from karmic bondage. Just by the same activity that the person's, you know, this side and that side do, but it's done for Krishna. And if it's not for Krishna, then you don't do. And so that then the house or whatever it is, you know, the computer or the MP3 player or the whatever it is, it serves to liberate and elevate consciousness. And all of the human activities of life are there. And this is an important part. Household life requires a house. So we have a house. Now let us dedicate the house to Krishna's service. He's given. He can take away. It's his. We have our name on the deed, but it's his. We have to make the mortgage payments, but it's his. He's giving the ability to make the mortgage payments. He can take it away. Can't make our mortgage payments. It's his. And we're using it in his service. The proprietorship, not just theoretical, but practical. And then, so here we are in Krishna's house. And that which is pleasing to him and meant for honoring him and praising him and serving him is like that. And his devotees and our family members, and we wish, as far as our ability permits, to do like that. So, all spheres of life. In Bhagavad Gita language, eating, sleeping, work, and recreation. Which covers everything. It's dedicated in service, and it's in proper balance. And progressively in that incubation chamber, the devotional creeper grows and grows and grows. You know, can start like a seed and that little sprout, little something. But if we nurture it properly, it grows and grows and becomes very, 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 very powerful, very strong. If the principle starts correctly, everything flows from that gradually.